How many levels do you have left? Are you in the last one?
I think so. The one with the present looking thing?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm on that one. And I'm on 5. So I got that one and 3 more to beat and I'll be...
So you're in the 5th level?
No. Oh, well, yeah.
5th chapter?
Course 4, 5th chapter, yeah.
Oh. I'm out Sailor Mooning you right now.
That's because you're a giant dork.
I think it's because I take longer poops than you.
That is... Oh, yeah, probably so.
Yeah, there you go. That's the right answer.
I didn't know how to respond to that.
A lot of marriage is a proverbial showing of the dicks. No, mine's bigger. No, mine's bigger. In this case, let the Wookiee win, love. So, yeah, for those of you noticing the dulcet tones of my co-host tonight, you may have guessed that tonight's, or today, it's daytime, today's guest host is not James, due to special circumstances. It is, in fact, fan favorite and distaff, Carol.
Hello.
We have to do the usual thing where I go, hey, Carol.
What?
Carol.
What?
Guess what?
What?
Welcome to Dork!
Woohoo!
Say welcome to Dork.
Welcome to Dork.
I'm Nick Moore.
And I'm Carol Moore.
And I'm Nick Moore, and you're listening to Dork, episode 116, I believe?
I don't know.
Yeah, it is. Just believe me. If you ever listened to them, you'd know. You'd be like, oh, yeah, this is 116. I listened to 150.
I listen to them on occasion.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
It's lies.
Lies. Okay. Lies and falsehoods.
Lies and falsehoods. Yeah, I'm recording. I had to record the Wretchedick podcast, which I'll be guesting on this week with Sunny Weathers and Jeremy White. And they wanted to record it the usual time that I record with James. So I hauled in the wife, which means we're talking to you from the bedroom. Hi.
Hi.
There we go. The nice thing about that is, with all the blankets and stuff like that, it really absorbs sound, so it comes out sounding really smooth. So that's a nice little
really?
Bonus.
We get good sound when we do it in the bedroom.
Yeah, we do. Oh yeah, Gracie. You just set them up, and I will spike it over the net. Thank you very much. One of my favorite things to do with you, when I have you on the show, is annoy you to pieces. So there was an article today on cracked.com, a lovely online thing where they do comedy articles. They did one last year that I actually wrote, and they paid me the handsome sum of $50 for it, because the topic I did, normally they pay $100 for first time submissions. But because the topic I wrote about was something somebody else had written about, they just put those two articles together into one article with both of us and then split the cash fucking cheapskates.
Well, it still cost them the same amount.
Yeah, yeah, it did. It did cost them the same amount. But that one got lots and lots of hits, too. So they, you know, they could have sent me a t-shirt or something. They did not send me a t-shirt. But anyway, they had a... article today, which was all about paradoxes.
Mm-hmm.
Like little situations where, you know, you throw something out there. And some of them were good, some of them are not so good. Some of them are just bullshit that you can call out immediately. But some of them I thought I would annoy you with.
Oh, God. Okay.
Okay, so here's one. This was proposed by a Irish scientist by the name of William Molyneux in 1688. All right, and he asked the question, he says, if a man is born blind and he learns to distinguish between a sphere and a cube by touching them, and then one day regains his sight, would he be able to tell the difference between the objects when they are placed in front of him just by looking at them?
Yes.
You think so?
Yes.
So he's never used sight before. He's never really seen any of these things. But you think when they were placed in front of him, because he'd spent all this time being able to distinguish them by touch, he could translate that.
Yes.
wrong. He couldn't. And I'll tell you why. Because, like, this is, it's a thought. It's a thought question, right? It's like, you know, you kind of, it's an opportunity to work out your brain. But not in this case. Because people who were born, there have been cases of people who were born blind who regained their sight or were given sight in adulthood, like via corneal transplants or whatever. And it didn't always go well. There were a couple of them that were so freaked out by the experience that they asked to go back. In fact, there was a movie with Val Kilmer in it. I don't know if you saw it.
Isn't that the one, like, Love is Blind or something like that?
It sounds like the kind of bullshit title they'd slap on it. Yeah, it was after he did Batman. He was not very popular. So, yeah, he was doing stuff like that. Basically just going, give me work. I'll be Kit, the voice of Kit in Knight Rider for, like, 3 episodes before they cancel this piece of shit show. So, yeah. In that particular case, which is based on a true story, he gets pulled in front of a psychiatrist after gaining his sight, and or a psychologist, I guess. And the dude shows him a picture of an apple. And he says, what is this? And he goes, that's an apple. Because, you know, he's learning what things look like. He goes, that's an apple. And he goes, so is it a real apple or is it a picture of an apple? And he's kind of like, he wasn't sure. Because his brain wasn't, he didn't make all his connections. In another case of the same kind of thing, there was a guy who was up on a balcony and he saw his friends down in the courtyard. And they waved to him, said, hey, come on down. So he stepped over the edge. And he didn't survive because, you know, he was high up. But he didn't grasp that distance mm-hmm. and things like that. So I would argue that no, it wouldn't. But you think that his hands would translate that visually?
Well, I just think that there, even like visually, there's a difference between round with no edges and something with edges, whether you've been trained to see that or not.
Yeah, but you're also used to seeing gradations and shadow and things like that that give things depth, and so you can pick up depth. Like you don't have to. My drawing teacher in college, guy named Gaither, loved to use the example of when you're walking down the street and you see a hole in the ground. You don't have to pull out a caliper and measure how deep it is and stuff like that. You know whether you can step on it or step over it or whatever, without having to gauge it. That's because the visual center of your brain just works. You've been using it forever. I don't think somebody that was born blind would have all that wiring set up. So that's where we're going to start. They get worse. And this is another one. This is another paradox, but that I have an answer for.
Of course you do.
But again, I think we'll have the same answer. It's the teleporter paradox.
Mm-hmm. From Star Trek.
Mm-hmm. So if you have a teleporter here and you have a teleporter somewhere else, and this teleporter makes an exact copy of you down to a molecular level and recreates it on the other side, memories and knowledge and everything, and then destroys the permanent copy, anyone who meets that other one, the you on the other side, that's you. That's totally you. Like, no question about it. You know everything. It's an exact copy. That's you. But did you die?
Yes. No. I don't know. That one's a tough one. Because one would argue a copy of anything, no mm-hmm. matter how well it's supposedly done, mm-hmm. is never exactly like the original. Like, it doesn't matter how good a copy machine you have, it's still not as good as the original. So one would argue something would be messed up with your original, you know, from your original. So even though it looks like you and remembers like you and basically is you, it's not. It's science saying, ha ha, yeah, no. It's not you. I don't know. I mean, it's the same DNA, it's the same memory, but again, It's not you. It's your copy.
But if no one had met, like, if somebody met you and then they fly to wherever you're going and talk to that guy, they'd totally, they wouldn't know, right?
No. Probably not. That doesn't, people knowing whether it's you or not doesn't mean diddly squat.
Fair. No, I totally agree with you. I think you're totally dead. You're toast. it's like that, what was that? The Prestige movie. Did you see that? With Batman and Wolverine.
Yeah. The one with the magicians.
Correct. They...
Where Batman was the twin.
Yes. And Wolverine was making copies of himself.
Yeah.
And he would drown the one that was standing in the platform.
Mm-hmm.
That guy would fall, then he would appear somewhere else. Ta-da! But one of them would get drowned, and he would... He would get rid of the body. There's a book called Altered Carbon, where the cyberpunk thing, and in it everybody's got these little hard drives embedded in their spinal column.
Mm-hmm.
It's called your stack, and basically it copies you, everything that is you in your brain, all of it. This keeps a complete record of it. So it updates as you go along, bam, it's all saved right here. So if you die, they just take your stack out and they implant it in another body. They call it re-sleeving. They put you in another sleeve. So it's you. Technically, you know, they plug into somebody else, bam, it's you. You know, you're just kind of taking over that. It's like you hopping into another car. But it drove me nuts because it's like, no, it's not. It's just... You're the data that's you. Like, this guy, Takeshi Kovacs, he's the main character. He's like the special forces guy. They would like, he was trained by the army to be, like, they take this guy and they teach him all this shit, and then they can beam his information across the galaxy to another sleeve where all his information and training and stuff like that, that's him, can take over this body and then fight wherever.
No.
And then...
There is such a thing as muscle memory.
Sure, but beyond that, it's just like, I mean, it's you, but...
No, it's not.
But when
that body's might be taller or shorter or wider or fatter. No.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but I'm disagreeing with you for a different reason. I totally agree. It's not you. In the book, there are these people that have been able to re-sleeve themselves over and over again because it's not free. You know, you can get put into hiatus. They'll take your sleeve and put it on file, and they pull it out later if they need it. And when you go to prison, for a certain amount of time. Like, they upload you to the prison files and then put you in a new body. So you come out and let's say you're Carol. You go to jail for 40 years. You come out and you're in a young body, but it's like this, I don't know, Chinese lady, and everyone you know is old. Like, that's your punishment. Like, you come out and, life sucks. And you still got to work and shit. But anyway, these people that have lived for like 300 years, and by doing so have amassed vast fortunes and shit like that, they like will back themselves up off site. So if they get killed, then they can get re-downloaded. But again, it's all just, it's just the digital. It's the ghost in the shell thing,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, you can upload your consciousness to, but it's not, is it really your consciousness or is it just digital files? Because the way I see it, if this me blinks out, I'm gone. There's going to be another guy that just has all my shit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to think he's me. He's going to remember everything that I'm gone. That's what annoys me about it. it's like when I was a kid. And I had my dad explain the whole soul concept to me, you know? Because, you know, I grew up really religious. And that was one of the first things that bugged me. Was I was like, so, wait a minute. So, I die, and my soul goes to heaven. So, yeah. So who is that guy? So, what do you mean? It's like, well, I'm doing all the work. And my soul's the guy that gets to get into heaven? He goes, well, no, I mean, that's you. I'm like, huh? But, like, my consciousness... Or what is he? No, your soul, like your spirit. Okay. So I'm dead. And this other guy, who I spent my whole life being a goody-two-shoes for, what do I care? That led a rather snowballing series of doubts that came crashing into the bottom of the hill around about college. But yeah, that's part of it. So yeah, we kind of agree on that one. Let's see. Oh, there's another one that's stupid. A lot of them are stupid. It's like old school Greek philosophy, where they were just getting high and overthinking everything.
Mm-hmm.
So here's one. This is an ancient Greek one. So a crocodile captures a boy. He'll be released if his father guesses what the crocodile will do with the boy. The father answers correctly. It won't give the boy back.
Duh.
So that's the correct answer. So is he going to get the boy back?
No. It's a crocodile.
But it's a talking crocodile.
Doesn't matter. Like, haven't you ever read, what is it, Aesop's Fable? The one with the fox and the, what was it, a chicken or whatever it was going across the river? And he's like, don't eat me, Mr. Fox, don't eat me. And Mr. Fox was like, of course I'm not going to eat you. Totally ate him. That's, or was like, that the gingerbread cookie? I don't know. Either way, he totally got eaten.
They have that with the dog, the frog, the scorpion on his back. Where the frog offers to give the scorpion a ride. He's like, but you'll sting me. Why would I give you a ride? And he goes, I promise, I won't do it. And so as they're going across, the scorpion stings the frog. The frog's like, why? We're both going to die. He goes, that's what I do. Okay, this is one that I've heard several times at church camp, of all places, as an analogy for Jesus sacrificing himself for humanity. It's the train problem. So you have a train that's going down the tracks, right? And if you don't do anything, it's going to kill a bunch of people. But if you flip a switch, it will go off the track and it'll kill one person. But technically, you're responsible for that person's death. If you don't do anything, a bunch of people die. But you didn't do anything. You didn't have anything to do with it. If you flip the switch, only one person dies, but you are directly responsible. So what do you do?
You are responsible for those other people that die because you know you can flick that switch and only one person dies instead of several. You flick the fucking switch. It's the prime directive. The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
Or the one guy.
Quote, Spock.
Okay. So what if the one person was me? Do you flip the switch?
Well, I have no guarantee that you're not going to be one of the many, right?
No, you know precisely that it's either going to kill me or it's going to kill 100 people on this train.
But do I know if one of those 100 people is you?
No, you're up in a switching tower and you can see down, or you're looking at a camera and you know, like, I'm stuck on the track. My foot's caught on the switch track. I'm like, I can't get out. Carol, I'm like texting you. Carol, could you? I know you're working your shift at the switchery today. Can you flip the switch to release my foot? It got caught in this thing. Hello? Well, when you get the text, just if you could text me back.
That's a bullshit question.
No.
No, it's a bullshit question, and I, like Kurt, would find a way around it.
No. You have to answer this. So.
I do not.
You absolutely
I do not, because it is a bullshit question. I agree with Kirk. There is no set in stone future that if it goes this way, everybody's going to go die. If it goes that way, it doesn't.
Well, that's the point of the question. It's definite. It's a definite. You have to pick one of these things.
No, because it's bullshit.
I would kill 100 people to save you.
I don't know.
I would let them all. You don't know? I would let them all die. Like, if that train was going to go into, like, a swamp full of alligators that weren't going to kill them instantly, they'd all drown a little bit, and then the alligators would chew them while they were choking on mud and things. Like, it's just the worst death possible, and you would have been killed instantly by the train. Like, you wouldn't even seen it coming. You would just be like, hey, what, is that a light? I heard lights at the end of the tunnel are good. And then bam, you're just dead. You don't know what it is. And I had time to text you and go, hey, I love you. And you're like, I love you too. How nice. Killed by, no, I'd still kill 100 people on the train to save your life. Not even an iffy. Just bam, dead.
I don't know. I mean, I don't want you dead. You're the most important person in my life, but.
Thank you.
100 people.
You don't even have to do anything, Carol.
I mean, if they were assholes, then that would be an issue.
No, it's like a bunch of those old ladies with the red hat society thing. Like no, they're going on a flower
tour. If they're old ladies, they're going to die soon anyway.
And then there's a kindergarten class that just came from the zoo.
That's the tough thing.
But they're in a really good mood. I mean, life's going to shit on them from there. A kindergarten kid on a train with an ice cream cone just went. He saw the koala bears. He's had a great day. His life is going to be shit from that moment on. As soon as he gets off that train, like he's on a train, ice cream cone. Did you see the koalas? I saw the koalas. The baby koala ate the mama koala's poo right out of her butthole. It was awesome. I had the best day of my life. And that's true. And maybe some maybe some parts of it, like as he goes along, that, you know, aren't going to be so bad. Or some, I mean, great things happen. Great things happen. We're, you know, we're not in kindergarten anymore. And amazing stuff happens to us all the time. But ever since that point in kindergarten, I've learned at least one thing a day that makes the world suck a little harder. Where I'm like, oh my God, wait a minute. You mean, wait, people still get killed by lions? Like, that's a thing? Like, that happened one day. That was a day where I was like, oh, people still, there are people that live in fields that get killed by lions. That's awful. Or people starve to death. Or AIDS is a thing. Or, you know, female circumcision. Like, you learn, like, every day, once you start being able to read on your own and comprehend things, if you pay attention to the world, you learn something just terrible. At least I did.
I don't know the answer to that question. I would have to be put. It's, I don't know. It really is one of those things where, you know, where you'd like to be like, of course I would be self-sacrificing and save 100 people. But on the other hand, there's another part of you's like, no! No, I want my husband alive. So I don't know.
That's the right answer. I would kill 100 people instantly, slowly, painfully. Like the train.
There's something slightly creepy about that love.
Well, I just.
Slowly, painfully, for you. And then you can live with the guilt.
No, I mean, you wouldn't have to live with the guilt.
I would know that 100 people had died so I could live.
I would never tell you that. I'd be like, oh God, did you see that train wreck? Wasn't that fucked up? And you'd be like, yeah, I was stuck here. Hey, won't you work on the switchboard? No, you know I don't work at the train station. Well, that's ridiculous. What a ridiculous thing. Come on, let's go get ice cream. Do you hear they have koalas at the zoo? I heard they do. Maybe we can take a train there. Not that train, obviously, because it is being devoured by alligators. But a different train, you and I will take it. Huh? That's love. Okay, this is a good one. Roman philosopher Titus Lucretius Carus. He said, and this is before we really, you know, they had an understanding of, you know, the atom as a thing. But he said, if atoms in our brain are always acting predictably, how can we have free will? Like, if you know what the individual atoms in your mushy, fatty wetness that's your brain are going to do, and you can predict that, how can we call it free will?
I don't get this one. It's making my brain hurt. I don't see what the hell something mechanically working has anything to do with your free will. Like, seriously. Like, the computer will predictably do what it's supposed to do, but it's you, the person, that makes it do different. You know, it will do anything the person tells it to do.
Yeah.
It is a mechanic.
So it doesn't have free will.
No, the computer does not, but the person operating it does. Sure. The atom is the same thing. The atom is the computer, and you are the operator.
Huh. I think.
Huh? Yeah. No. It's like, shit. It's a biological mechanic. It is just, it is programmed to function the way it does.
so that you have free will, so that you don't have to think about, and now I need to make the atom work. All right, no, next no, 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 atom, no. And now I no, need no,
I
to
get,
make...
I get what you're saying. No, it's like, Okay, if you were to build an AI, like in Ex Machina, okay, you built yourself a robot chick that has got complete free will. She's totally autonomous. James and I were actually talking about this last week. It's a living thing. Like, it has emotions and all that shit. Mm-hmm. But because you built it, like, you know exactly what that brain is made out of. But those switches and stuff, it's like taking on its own switch. So because you know the entire mechanics of it, you know how it works and everything like that, and you can actually predict certain ways it'll go.
Why do you think you can predict certain ways it'll go unless you've programmed that to happen?
Well, no, you know the limits of the system. Like, you could theoretically plot out everything it was going to do. Because it's, you know, physical. So I guess what the argument is, the question is, how could anything physical really have free will?
That's a stupid question.
You're getting so angry. I just wanted to bother you. It's stupid. Well, you should know, if it makes you feel better, Carol, Titus Lucretius Carus is dead. he's been dead for a long time. So Carol wins.
He's lucky, because otherwise he would need to be punched in the face.
Right. Okay, let's see, what's another one? Oh, this is another one that always drove me nuts. But no, we're not going to go into that. You're starting, your little vein in your forehead's starting to pop out. That's the one that's like, hey, maybe you should stop asking questions, motherfucker. Maybe you should not, we're not having fun anymore. See, this is another one that's stupid. It's one of those old school paradoxes that, like, people ask thinking they're being, it's like middle school philosophy. Where you know, a kid in middle school gets his first philosophy book. It's like, oh, yeah, that's a great question. But if you know a handful of fucking anything, you'd be like, well, this is why. But Olber's paradox. It states, there are infinite stars in the universe. And if there are infinite stars in the universe, why is the night sky dark? Because if there's infinite stars in the sky, shouldn't there always be bright light from the stars? But you say, well, no, the universe is infinite as well. So, you know, just they space out. Stupid. It's like... Again, it's like something you say when you're high as fuck.
Right. Yeah. Like, what if cat spelled dog?
I've never been that high.
What movie is that from?
What?
That's a line from a movie. There's like three guys getting high, and like two of them are really, really smart, but one of them is not. And the one that was not really smart was like, what if cat spelled dog? And the other two guys were like, whoa.
No, I've never been that high. I don't, like, I'm trying to think of the dumbest thing I ever thought when I was high. And I don't have anything. I sometimes talk to, like, Foghorn Leghorn.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, I would get a really hefty, redneck Kentucky accent. I'll say. Yeah. But I never came up with the bullshit philosophical. So, hey, we've started watching a new show.
Yes.
That I didn't think we'd actually enjoy, but we actually kind of enjoy.
Conceptually speaking, it should be the most boring show on the face of the planet.
Yeah.
Next to PBS News.
Yeah. Yeah. PBS, I like PBS News because it's just like, it's the news I grew up with. Where just somebody kind of dour gets in front of a microphone and is like, hey, this happened today.
Yeah.
And here's some other things that happened.
Yeah. I mean, it's how I prefer my nose, too. Like toast, but...
toast. Dry. No butter.
No butter. No flavor.
Just toasted bread that kind
of
sticks.
Make me suffer through it. Yeah. It's part of being an adult.
Cuts out the roof of your mouth while at the same time sticking to the roof of your mouth.
So then here's your goddamn grapefruit.
Yeah. That's really loud on the microphone when you hit the wood. Like that. That's the table the mic's on.
Oops.
Yeah. It's not as bad as Sonny. Sonny, when Sonny's on, he'll tap the table when he's trying to make a point, and that just goes right to the mic, which is like tap, 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 tap. It's like a rooster hunting for corn. Anyway, the table, speaking of tables, that's the show we're watching. It's on Amazon Prime. Tabletop, Will Wheaton's show that he did with Felicia Day that was on YouTube, and it's now all on Amazon Prime. And in it, Will Wheaton has guests on, three of them, and they play a different tabletop game. And I agree that it sounds as boring as it sounds coming out of my mouth. Like, oh, you're watching people play a board game. Don't give me shit. I know some of you out there watch that esports crap. Like, you go on YouTube and you're like, oh, let's watch somebody play Minecraft for 5 hours. I do not get it. Both of my nephews do it, and I think they're idiots for it. Like, why are you... You have Minecraft. You could play Minecraft. He's like, yeah, but look at him. All right, fair. So, Will Wheaton. Playing tabletop games with other dorks is very entertaining.
It really is.
It's like, it kind of makes me kind of get sports. Where people are like, yeah, you can watch these other people play a game. We could play that game. Yeah, but they're playing it. Look at them go. And it's like that, but you add in humorous commentary.
But there is like, well, so far there's only been one. Well, two. The train game's fun. But, and the Settlers of Catan, I've played that and that's fun. But there's only one game that I really want, that I haven't played, that I really want for us to purchase.
Munchkin?
Oh my god, yes.
Yeah, Munchkin is like, for those of you that have not watched tabletop or don't play tabletop games often.
Which is most of the population.
There's a game called Munchkin, which is like D&D light.
Where... Well, it's like making fun of role-playing games.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's all the cards are humorous things. And, you know, so it's funny while you play it. But the whole point is you're trying to be the first one to get to the highest level. And you can help out your friends. Or you can just stab them in the back and make their lives awful. Which is great. That's, to me, that's the perfect game. That's why I like that Liar's Dice game.
Yeah.
You got me where you, if you watched... Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest. The game they're playing on the deck of the boat is Liar's Dice. Where you basically, you have like five dice in a cup and you slap them down and you tell everybody what your hand is. And they can believe you or they can call you on it and then you kind of bet dice. And if you run out of dice, you lose. And the person that ends up with all the dice is the winner. But I love that shit because I love games where you can bullshit people. It's very entertaining. Which when Carol and I play games, it's usually Yahtzee.
Yeah. Well, that's because we're not very good at bullshitting one another. We know one another's tells. So usually if we're in a bullshit game, we have to be on the same team. Otherwise, we call one another on each other's bullshit.
Carol was absentmindedly braiding her hair. So she's got a kind of island girl thing going just directly sideways out the side of her head. It's
sort of a weird Pippi Long stocking top type braid.
Yeah.
Or like the Wendy's girl.
Wendy? I think her name is Wendy.
Yeah, but Wendy doesn't look like that anymore. So
She does not. I think having Wendy... of Wendy's on a Wendy's commercial was a poor marketing choice.
It was. Their sales legitimately dropped. Like, she tried to take over for Dave,
mm-hmm.
and their sales plummeted. And so that's when they got the new Wendy's girl.
Who's thin and perky.
And I'm not sure she's a natural redhead, but it works for her.
The real Wendy Thomas.
Is
she grew up in...
On burgers.
Yes, she did. And... I'm not saying that she came on as like, hobbledy.
No, she wasn't an unattractive woman, but she didn't have...
She didn't look like Wendy in The Sign.
She didn't look like Wendy in The Sign, no. I think the problem was that she did not have the, like...
Personality?
Personality her father did, yeah.
Yeah, she seemed like they kind of pushed her in front of the camera and were like, hey, sell burgers. And she's like, hi, I'm Wendy. I'm the Wendy from The Sign, but... Yeah. But I'm not, I mean, you can tell I'm not wearing that dress and I don't have my hair and those things anymore. I really never did that. My dad just found it easier to draw.
I met Dave.
You met Dave Thomas?
Yeah.
When did you meet Dave Thomas?
He used to go and, like, when a Wendy's would open up in a town, he would go within the first week.
Okay.
To kind of, you know, see the Wendy's and check it out and everything. That's one of the things that he did.
Or have a baked potato. I always liked their fries.
I don't know if he had a baked potato. But anyway...
A little ketchup in the cups.
They had opened up the first Wendy's in the little town that I was living in Oklahoma, Owosso. And it was the first Wendy's in the town. So I don't know if he did it for all Wendy's. But, you know, this was the first one in a town. Yeah. So it was big. So I went to go order Wendy's. And I went in. And I went to place my order. And I was looking up at the board. Because, again, first Wendy's in our town. Had to look at the board to figure out what I wanted. And when I looked down, there was Dave saying, may I take your order, please? And I... kind of went like, and he's like, yes, I'm Dave from the commercials. May I take your order, please? And I was like...
Spit it out. We have a lot of people in line.
Yeah, I was like, okay.
Dave Thomas, the person, kind of a dick. He was busy. I mean, I agree.
He was nice.
He had a lot of shit going on.
I mean, I can't imagine I was the only one. Like, that next to, he was the only other, like, the only other fast food person or food person I'd ever met after that was Jared, and he was an asshole, so now I only have the Dave story. And Jared seemed like a nice guy. Like, you hear
tread
about,
lightly, dear.
You hear
the man's a child rapist. Let's not give him the benefit of the doubt here.
You hear it about serial killers, too, but when you met Jared, like, Dave, you knew that was Dave from the commercials. You were like, holy shit, that's the dude from the commercials. With Jared, you kind of stand there and just stare at him without trying to stare at him and be like that weird chick in the restaurant looking at him.
Like, oh, yeah, that dude totally doesn't look like a rapist.
No, he was at a hotel where I was at, and I was the hostess at the stand. And I literally kept looking at him like, I know this dude from somewhere. And finally, when he came to put on his room, I was like, I'm so sorry, but I could swear I know you from somewhere. He's like, where do you think? I'm like... I don't know. Did we, like, go to school together or something? He's like, no, but I get that all the time. I'm Jared from the Subway's commercials. And I was like, oh, okay. But my mind never went to Subway's commercials.
Do you think he gets that in prison? He's put on some weight.
Has he?
Yeah, because he doesn't get Subway's in prison.
Are you saying they feed him fattening foods in prison?
Well, they feed him the prison diet, and I'm sure he's just stress eating like a motherfucker.
Can you stress eat in prison?
Oh, yeah. Like, the food's not very good, but they give you enough. I mean, they have to. Legally, they have to feed you. And if you're, as long as you're not fucking dickhole Joe Arpaio in Arizona, who's like, they wear pink underwear and they all eat bologna sandwiches. You know, which, the man's psychotic. But, have you ever been to Angola?
Aside from the rodeo.
Yeah, the food at the rodeo is way better than the food at the Angola commissary. Like, when I was a senior in high school, we went to Angola on a field trip.
Why? That seems like a bad idea for a field trip.
Well, it's not like, and now you go into general population. Enjoy meeting some new friends. No, it was, like, they took us in, they showed us death row. There wasn't anybody on death row at the time. Like, I mean, you can be on death row without being on death row. Like, there's a genuine row of cells with, not Sparky, but, like, the table at the end of it. Like, you go down a hall, and there's the table. And they showed us the cells, and they kind of told you, this is what happens on your last day. Which I was fascinated with, because, like, I've always been fascinated with that concept of, like, people that know when they're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, they have it down. They're like, all right, here's the time. Dude, like, a week from now. You won't be here. You're like, wow. Okay. So for the day before you die, you get to hang out in your cell. They put a TV in front of the cell so you can watch whatever you want. They do your last meal the night before so you can kind of, I mean, I don't know why. It's not like surgery where they're afraid you're going to choke to death or something. Like, you're going to die. In fact, if you choke to death, it would kind of be a bonus. But, like, they put you in the cell. They put a TV in so you can watch whatever you want all day. You have visitors and stuff that come in. But and then before they take you to get put on the table, they dose you. Like, they give you a tranquilizer to kind of calm you down. Because otherwise, you lose your fucking mind. And people still lose their minds. Like, you know, you put them down there and it doesn't matter how doped up you are. You're like, oh, this, I'm not going to be here in, like, what, 5 minutes? That's crazy. So, yeah, we get to see all that. And then we had lunch. And so, with these massive concepts floating around our heads, we went into the Angola cafeteria. We were served by prisoners. And we sat down. The girls seemed far more uncomfortable than the guys did. Although both of us, both groups, I think, felt equally sure they were going to leave, but not before we got raped. because, goodness, there were quite a few guys just hanging on the fences as we were walking, because we had to follow the sidewalks and stuff, and there were prisoners everywhere, and they were just, they were quiet, they were semi-respectful, but respectful in the way that you, like, you know, you see, like, a lion mm-hmm. at the zoo, and you're like, oh, he's being respectful. He's not. There's a metal between the two of you, and he the lion can't come over and molest you. And some of them seemed like very much they wanted to have some steak. But for the most part, very respectful. But the food was not good. It was, I remember there was a very large helping of dirty rice and a roll, but it wasn't like white bread. It was like kind of that wheat mm-hmm. bread that they give you in the school cafeteria that's mm-hmm. not very good, and it's kind of wet on the bottom. Mm-hmm. So that wasn't pleasant. Like mixed fruit out of the can. It's a little pile of that.
Yeah, that's just gross.
I think the main dish was maybe chicken nuggets or something like that. So everybody ate their chicken nuggets, but the rest of it was just very depressing. So if anything kept me out of prison for the last 18 years, it was...
the food?
Yeah. You got to eat that for the rest of your life.
Yeah, that, I wouldn't like that.
My dad, you know, I told you about my dad did some medical work at Angola.
Yeah.
Because it was...
required, right?
I don't think it was required, but you could, if you wanted the experience, which always looked good. Like, when he was in a, not an intern, but when he was in med school at UNO in New Orleans, you could go to New Orleans Charity and kind of hang out. And if they saw you around, you know, they would start pulling you in to have you help with stuff. Like, oh, you're a med student? Come over here. This is what we're doing, blah, blah, blah. And he saw some harrowing shit. In fact, if you go back to, there's the episode of Dork where I actually talked to my dad. He talked about that a little bit. But he also did work in Angola. And he's like, some of the nicest guys I ever met were murderers. Like, guys on death row. Like, they were just the nicest dudes. Because murder is so often a crime of passion. There are a lot of murders that happen just because you're like, motherfucker, fuck you.
Right.
You know, or what are you looking at? I mean, those happen. Mm-hmm. But lots of murders are just like, you know, like I hate that guy so much. Or you, like, you walk in and this dude's fucking your wife. You're like, everybody dies with this bat. I don't own a bat, so you should be safe. We've already talked about this.
You've owned a samurai sword. Yes, because I like to watch Forensic Files. Mm-hmm. And it seems like almost every one of the murders is a wife killing a husband or a husband killing a wife. My husband, you're deeply disturbed when I watch Deadly Women, because that's all about women killing things.
Yeah, well, it's just the gleam in your eye that bothers me.
I don't have a gleam in my eye, and I love Forensic Files. The bad guy always gets caught. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a file on them. Like, they don't go like, we found all this forensic stuff, couldn't solve the case. Fuck us. Another one. Like, they might try to misdirect you so that you might think it's the boyfriend or, you know.
They always do. They show you, like, three dudes.
Right.
And, like, it's always one really skeevy guy in the shadows. He's like, yeah, I always thought she was pretty. And he's, like, licking his lips. And it's totally not that guy. That dude actually works at a nursing home. And he's very friendly.
And very friendly. Just is not a good social person. No, but it's almost always, like, literally, like, police, like, and the police will tell you, like, when someone is murdered, the very first person that is the person, number one suspect, whether that person is anywhere near it or has anything to do with it at all, it's always going to be the spouse first. I mean, there was one forensic file case where this mother and her two daughters were found drowned, like, that someone had tied cement to them, but they hadn't tied enough cement. The bodies had, you know, floated in. And
200 pounds, folks. According to the chick that runs the Faces Lab at LSU, you want to put at least 200 pounds on a body if you want to, like, sink and keep it down. And put, like, hooks into it. Because otherwise, it'll, like, the flesh gets all soft and floats up. So, when I took that novel writing, mystery novel writing course at LSU, they let us ask questions.
So, anyway, the father of the two girls and the husband of the wife was literally half a country away. He had a dairy farm.
Mm-hmm.
And he was working his dairy farm, and they went on vacation. He was like, I don't have time to do that. I got a dairy farm to run.
Mm-hmm.
And the police went to him and were like, okay, your wife and daughters have been killed. And he, in true dairy farmer style, was like, I don't have time to mourn. I got a dairy farm to run. And like, ran his dairy farm. And the guy, the police were like, he was very, very, very cold. And so, you know, we looked and, you know, and you see the guy is in there and he's like, yeah, I had shit to do. I didn't have time to mourn. Like,
I got 500 head of cattle. I want to be milled right now. I really don't have fucking time.
You know, you could tell he's just like, it wasn't that it didn't affect him or anything, but like, this was just one of those guys.
Life goes on.
Right. You know, like one of those old school guys that you see in movies and stuff where you're like, Haas, you know, this whole village died, including your three daughters and your thing. Oh, going to milk old Bess now. And he walks up, you know, it's hit him right in the chest, but you know, men don't show things. So at night he'll pitiably cry quietly to himself when a cow doesn't need to be milked. But anyway, the police
have a little extra helping of steak because only one mouth to feed.
Right. And the police really kept trying to pin these murders to this guy half a country away because why else would someone get murdered on vacation? And what basically saved his life was he did not like to cook for himself. And so because his wife was away, every day for every meal, he would go to the local cafe. So there was absolutely no way that he could go to the cafe, drive all the way, kill his daughters and his wife, and then come back in time to be at the cafe at the time that he would have been there.
Like chicken fried steak?
I don't know. They didn't say what he was eating. I always assumed he started with, like, biscuits and gravy for breakfast with some eggs and some bacon.
So he ate there three times a day?
Three times a day.
So this guy's probably dead now, huh?
He wasn't when they filmed Forensic Files. I mean, you have to consider this is how this guy was eating when his wife and everything was on vacation. Once he realizes she's not coming back, I'm sure he was like, well, gotta learn how to eat or get me a housekeeper.
No, he went to the cafe. I'm telling you what, that dude's like, I'm only paying for one head. You know, I can just turn on the lights in the rooms I'm in. I ain't gotta buy gas for anything. I can finally adjust that air conditioner to be right where it needs to be. I'll be saving an awful lot of money. I mean, that cafe, biscuit gravy for breakfast. I'm going to probably have a burger or a club sandwich at lunchtime, dinner, chicken fried steak, and meatloaf, maybe fried chicken. Because you know Molly's
and
fried chicken is pretty
pie,
damn good.
Because Molly makes good pie.
She does. I like her apple pie, and her rhubarb pie is nothing to sneeze at. Have you ever had a good rhubarb pie? I'm going to tell you what. Nothing takes a stench of cow manure off your hands like a slice of rhubarb pie eaten with a fork, of course. But yeah, he just got to treat himself.
So anyway, but that, to me, that was just very, like, it pointed out, like, the cops will, like, look at you hard and try to make the story fit.
Mm.
I mean, they want to catch the actual murderer.
But man, they got to tie this shit up.
Yeah.
People are getting killed every day.
Yeah. Yeah,
they never
exactly
run out of business.
So, like, you better hope, like, fuck, if you're married and your spouse dies and you have absolutely nothing to do with it, that you have a very, very strong alibi. Because you're screwed, basically, if you're at home and you're like, what were you doing? I was watching the Mindy Project on Hulu. Can you prove that?
Yeah, you can, actually.
No?
Yeah, just look at your internet records.
There you go. Check,
here's my IP address. Here's where I logged in. You can see, there we go.
But even then, they'd be like, well, how do we know that was you and not somebody using your IP address?
Because it's Mindy Project, and I watched, like, the same episodes, like, five times. This is me talking as you. They go, oh, yeah, I guess nobody else would watch And you watch Bob's Burgers, like, the same episodes four times. Like, in 2 days.
Hey, I can't help myself. That's, well, I don't always, like, pay attention, so I go back. Like, well, like that thing baby, with Lizzie Borden when I was painting the bathroom, I watched that, like, five times.
Carol, we're recording this as, like, evidence to exonerate you. Should my body turn up? And you're like, no, you remember that Lizzie Borden thing? That, like, how your body was found with the accident. Dear.
Hatchet.
Say stop. I got a huge freaking railroad tie hatchet in my shop.
No, I faint at the sight of blood. Murder's not my thing.
Well, that's good. No, I think you would wait till I fell asleep and you would delicately put a pillow over my head so you wouldn't see any blood. And then blammo, mainly just so you wouldn't get any on the cats.
No, no, I'll tell you what.
And Basil and like are both
watching Forensic Files. Dogs, so you have to be like, I don't know, a genius to get away with murder with all the DNA and everything they have now. Like, seriously.
We've always had DNA.
I know, but that we can test now.
But again, then they always.
Like, Jack the Ripper would be caught now.
Yeah, probably. But they always bitch about that. Like, everybody expects you to just catch him because they see all the shows. But that doesn't matter for us because we've already made a deal.
Yes.
We're not going to murder one another.
That's correct. We have made that deal.
Yeah, one of the... you'd think that was kind of just part of the whole marriage thing. But if you pay attention real close next time you go to a wedding, they don't make you say that.
Nope.
They say, till death do us part.
Sometimes you just got a part.
Racing me to it. Again, this is... We're laying down the track here to exonerate you. Wore my body to turn up riddled with holes from a 357 Magnum.
I wouldn't need to riddle you with holes.
Riddled with hole.
That's right.
Again, Carol, stop. Evidence for the defense. And you're like, I wouldn't need to riddle you. Just one. Right in the head.
True.
With one of those special hollow point bullets you got me. It goes in relatively small, comes out the size of a softball.
My hand cannon is nifty.
I love you. Jesus Christ. Girl, I think that's about enough for today. It's going to dark places. I thought we were going to help you out here, but no. We need to get off here before the cops just come looking for you.
Well, how did we end up from tabletop to murder? Like, because we didn't really talk about Will Wheaton and his game show much.
I don't know. We'll have to listen to this one to find out. Go back and see. Yeah. So with that, I'm Nick Moore.
And I'm Carol Moore.
And you've been dorked.
We're supposed to talk now, right? So you can do the music and do the playout thing.
Carol, you're killing the magic. There's a bit of mystery involved in the magic that is podcasting, which is, no, there's no mystery.
There's no mystery. There's no magic.
Stop.
What's his name? Kevin, what's his name? Farts on his podcast. Kevin, there's no magic. Kevin Smith.
Kevin Smith doesn't fart on his podcast.
Yes, he does.
I've listened to every single episode of his podcast. He talks about farts.
Okay, well, he talks
about farts.
And sex
and, like, eating his wife's asshole.
Yes, he, no.
He talks about that at length.
Yeah, no.
Like, there was one, he was trying to get his wife going. They were like at a hotel or something like that. And his wife was getting all fancied up. She was in the bathroom putting on makeup. She was naked. And he was like getting all revved up. And he's like, come on. She's like, no, you're going to mess up my hair and my makeup. He's like, okay, well, how about since you're like leaning in the mirror, you just let me look at your asshole and jerk off. She's like, yeah, that's fine. So she's putting on his makeup and he's just like cranking one out on his knees behind her just looking at her butthole. Like, literally get his hand on her ass, just, like, looking at her asshole, jerking off like a wild man. And, like, he came on her leg, and she was, like, she was gracious about it. She's like, oh, that's kind of hot. And he was like, it was not. That was, like, animal behavior. The equivalent of me just humping your leg while you shooed me off. But he's never farted on the... I've never heard him fart on the... Yeah, I don't think he's ever farted. Like, he'll have people fart in his movies.
Yeah.
But not so much. Goodbye, folks.